Repeat these words after me, please. Lord, we need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your daughters and sons are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want to celebrate the one who has shifted from big sister role to soloist role. Sister Anna, stand up, Anna. Amen. God bless you. Boy, she's the greatest big sister on the planet. My goodness. Amen. And we celebrate Sister Dr. Min Wan. God bless your heart. Our friend, Reverend Amber Bergen, already has you singing a solo. I'll send it to her. I extended the passage that was read in your hearing and included some additional verses. And for the context, I just want to lift up a few again in your hearing. Now, after they had left, speaking of the Magi, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Go up, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child." Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and they went to Egypt, remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem whom were 2 years old and under, according to the time that had been learned from the wise men. I'd like to preach on his fourth Sunday of Advent. From refugee to redeemer. From refugee to redeemer. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. When you have a redeemer.
When you have a redeemer.
From refugee to redeemer. A significant part of 2019 has been filled with concern and controversy about refugees. A refugee is a person who has been forced to leave their native country in order to escape war, natural disaster, persecution, or possible death. Unless you've been sleeping under a rock, a large population of people have been denigrated as refugees. From Mexico and Salvadoria and Guatemala. Most have been fleeing from their homeland because of extreme poverty, dangerous drug cartels, and a corrupt government. And that's not what we heard so much about, but there was great poverty and drug cartels and corrupt government that made it impossible for there to be prosperity for most of the people. The real deal about being a refugee family, the real deal about being an immigrant, is that you don't have many options. Either you have to flee to save your life, or you stay in your homeland and suffer in the conditions and consequences and even possibly lose your life. And the need to enter a country safely is done by any means necessary. Did you hear what I said? Everybody's not going to come through the line and try to get a homeland status, to get the appropriate status and passport so they can come in. When there's challenge and trouble and your life is in the limb, you are looking to come into a safe place by any means necessary. I can hear somebody thinking inside of themselves, Pastor, why are you talking about refugees on the fourth Sunday of Advent? Why are you, Pastor King, why are you talking about challenges and consequences of immigrants attempting to enter America instead of the entrance of Jesus Christ into the world? Well, if that's you thinking that, I'm so glad that you were thinking that. Because unbeknownst to most of us, the Advent story represents more than an all is calm, all is bright story. Did you hear what I said? The Bible story reveals an Advent, not only a silent night and holy night about God's only baby boy born in Bethlehem, but a family on the run for their very lives. Uh-huh. Your Lord and my Savior Jesus was a refugee. Did you hear what I said? He was a refugee. And now that I have your attention, see in Matthew's rendition of the Advent story that the corrupt Roman government employing power plays and regimes, mayhem and murder in order to maintain control. This is the government we're talking about. Our text tells us that after Jesus was born, astronomers, also known as the Magi, were guided by a star that leads them to Jerusalem. And upon their arrival at the temple, the Magi asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod learns that a potential rival for power is born, born in his kingdom no less, the last thing Herod wanted to hear was that there was a king, a potential threat to his authority living in his territory. Herod was a cruel king. Herod was so cruel he was known to kill family members because he thought they were plotting to overthrow him. Herod hurriedly called together the Jewish leaders to verify this prophecy, and the religious leaders confirm the truth through Micah. The word says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And after learning the prophecy, Herod schemes with the Magi. He takes them off on a side and has a secret sidebar saying, "Go and search for carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I can come and worship him." Now I find it strange. I said something and I don't know if you caught it or not. But Herod asked the Jewish leaders to find out through scripture where baby Jesus would be born. The Magi are the ones that are ready to go, but the religious leaders, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders were not even moving out of the temple. There's something to be said about that. There's some people who can read scripture. There are people who are able to intellectualize what's taking place in the word, but they still don't follow Jesus. That's a sermon for another time. Family, I've learned that to be ambitious is a good thing. Herod was ambitious, and to be ambitious is a good thing. But uncontrolled ambition, to think that you're the chosen one or that you should be the only one, you will develop a Donald Trump mentality. A Donald Trump mentality. You'll be eager to defame and destroy anyone who takes opposition to your position. The star again appears, leading the Magi to the place where Mama Mary, Daddy, Stepdaddy Joseph, and baby Jesus are. And the Magi bow down and worship Jesus and present him with gifts fit for a king. As the Magi now are preparing to depart, they are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod by way of Jerusalem, but to go home a different way. You can't come in the presence of Jesus and go home the same way. That's a sermon for another time too. When Herod realized that he had been tricked, bamboozled, outsmarted, he was furious, and he gave orders to the Roman police to capture and kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. See here, family, with your consecrated imagination, Herod sending Roman soldiers door to door, acting like a modern-day ICE agent, intruding, interrogating, tearing little boy children from the arms of their parents and putting them in uncomfortable cages and taking them off to be killed. Meanwhile, Joseph is also warned in a dream of Herod's plan. The angel of the Lord instructions are, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. You see it, family? There was no time for motherhood. There was no time to really celebrate Jesus as an infant child. No time to take pictures to post of father and mother and son on Facebook. There was no time to celebrate, to show the newborn baby to family and friends, only to flee as a refugee into Egypt. Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus are refugees on the run. Just as with runaway slaves and fleeing immigrants, Herod had his soldiers to check every possible place to rid every little boy to thwart any potential for future government overthrow. Now, with your natural eye, family, with your natural mind, this scene seems to be certain demise for baby Jesus. But if you read between the lines of the text, you will see hope through the plan of God. Hope through the plan of God. Here's why. More often than not, when you are obeying, doing the desires of God, guess what? You can expect opposition. Did you hear what I said? When you're doing what God wants you to do, when you're being obedient to God, when you're sacrificing, doing what God asks, you can expect opposition. That's a sermon number three. Whenever you are doing God's will, expect as a part of the process, assault, insult, and attack. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just the way it is. When you do what God wants you to do, people will rise up against you. I know somebody saying, Pastor, I heard what you said, but let me get this straight. When I'm doing God's will, when I'm being obedient to God's plan, I should expect some get back, some payback for doing right? Yes. Insult, assault, and attack are not always, however, signs that you are not following God's will. Did you know that? You can do right and wrong comes your way. Sometime later, the disciples were warned by Jesus to expect persecution from the world that as they obey God's will. Jesus said, you will have trial and temptation doing my will, but I have overcome the world. But while you're still doing the work, expect some challenge. When we are doing God's will, we are to expect opposition. Doing the Lord's will, we are doing the Lord's will, you may find yourself not only in a strange position, but in a strange place. A strange place among strange people. You thought that you understood where you were. You go to the same office every day. You come home to the same household every day. You're in the same community every day. You know all the people that you're seeing, but they look and acting so strange. Huh? I'm trying to tell you that a tax family can also mean that you are doing, that you are willingly listening and following the will of God. And even as you're doing right, things look strange. Joseph's obedience to God caused the entire family, including Jesus, to become refugees. Joseph wasn't Jesus's daddy. But he was obedient to God, and he was about to put it away privately, the word says. But after the Lord spoke to him, he still could have said, no, I don't want no parts of it. But Joseph was obedient, and following the edict of the census and going to Bethlehem, Joseph took Mary and took care of her. Still, there was insult, assault, attack, causing the family of three to become refugees. But I want you to observe the hand of God. I want you to observe the move of God in this situation. The Lord tells Joseph to go into Egypt. Now check this. In Egypt, there are Jewish settlements there. So they will be amongst their own people. Going into Egypt, they will be amongst their own people. The second thing here. The Lord leads Mary, Joseph, and Jesus into Egypt, a country where they can blend in. There are Jewish populations there, and they're going into a country where they can blend in. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus go into Egypt and are able to fit in and to blend in. All right, let me try again. The Lord sends Mary, Joseph, and Jesus into Egypt to hide out from King Herod. The family is sent to Egypt, North Africa, where they can fit in and blend in. Y'all got it now? They can fit in Jewish populations. They can blend in and fit in Jewish populations in Egypt. If Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were European, they would have been found out right away. Do I have a witness? Huh? They've been found. Who them three? Do you see it now? Now see this, another point. Matthew's gospel is careful not to call Jesus Joseph's son. Because he's not. Therefore, the conditions of the time and situation being in Egypt, North Africa, amongst a people of like culture and color, it is the responsibility of the community to protect Jesus. Huh? You can no more separate Egypt from North Africa than you can separate Gaithersburg from Montgomery County. And it was the Jews' responsibility to protect the baby Jesus and the family in their community to assure that they would have a future. And it is the responsibility of black and brown parents in this community to take care of the black and brown boys and girls to assure that they have a future. Here's another thing. Egypt has the second oldest Christian congregation in the world, older than Europe. So hip the brothers that Christianity is not a white man's religion. It's straight out of Africa. I wish I had time to talk about this thing. But since I can't, somebody shout straight out of Africa. Thank you. Family, I want you to know that you have just uttered prophecy. Straight out of Africa, you've just uttered prophecy. It seems a paradox that Jesus would return to North Africa, to Egypt, the very place his people had been enslaved for 400 years. It just seems strange. And I'm sure Joseph and Mary knew family history. They knew biblical history. And when the angel said to go to Egypt, they could have said, huh? I know what happened back there. There may be another Pharaoh back in Egypt. But the angel said, go into Egypt. And out of obedience, they went. And I find it powerful, family, that the very place where enslavement of Jews began under the hand of Pharaoh is the place that God launches Jesus' ministry. He was maybe 2 years old at the time, but God was setting the stage for what was to happen. Do you see it? Egypt is the place the Lord delivered the Jews out of the land of slavery. It was in Egypt that represents the slavery of the Jewish nation of the past to be refugees migrating towards Canaan, the promised land. And it is out of Egypt that God calls his only begotten son. Just as scripture speaks of Egypt as being a place of enslavement, so it does also speak that Egypt is a place where the Messiah was protected, so that at the right time, Jesus the refugee would emerge and begin transforming and becoming Jesus the Redeemer. So whatever your story, whatever Christmas means, what it means at its core, or should mean at its core, is that God knows and God understands. Wherever God sends you, wherever you wind up, God is there with you. Whatever the place that was the place of your enslavement, God will change it to be your place of liberation. Verse 19 and 20 reveal, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mama and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. After a few years in Egypt, in the right culture, in the right community, in a place of safety, in a place of nurture. After a few years in Egypt, Jesus the refugee gets clearance to return home. But when Joseph heard that Achilles was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. From this time forward, scripture tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He got spiritually smart and physically taller. His age, the numbers began to climb up. As Jesus' spirit life grew, he began to evolve from an immigrant to teacher, preacher, miracle worker. The same Jesus who once said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, promised that he would go to prepare a place where he is that we might be also. I wish I had a witness in this place. The same refugee baby, Jesus for 3 years proclaimed good news to the poor. Freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind to set the oppressed free. This immigrant Jesus born to a teenage mama, raised by a stepdaddy, protected in Egypt from an egotistical maniac, one who wanted to kill him. Refugee Jesus prayed forgiveness for a crazed, confused crowd, offered paradise to a repentant criminal. This immigrant Jesus grew up in a funky Nazareth, had 12 funky friends. Refugee Jesus arrested by Roman police, convicted for a crime that he did not commit, convicted by a jury that were not his. He had to be a brother. Jesus executed by crucifixion on a cross at a place called Calvary, dead, buried in a borrowed tomb, but I read somewhere that 3 days later, I heard somebody say, early, Sunday morning. I know we're talking about December 25th, which is a Wednesday, but I like early Sunday morning. Jesus got up with all power in his hands. Immigrant Jesus got up and redeemed the world. We give thanks to Jesus. We give thanks to Jesus' life. It didn't end in some small, smelly, stinky pond. We give thanks Jesus' life didn't end while on the run, while in exile, while he was a refugee in Egypt. We give thanks to God that his life did not end on the cross. Do I have a witness in this place? Because God raised Jesus from the grave. Jesus, the one-time refugee, is the redeemer of the world and the reigning king, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever.